Okay, today's daf is daf Samach Hey, but just two other haras. We're on the bottom of Samach Dalet and Beis. In a couple of minutes, I said that we're going to talk about a couple of concepts here. The concept came up of, first of all, Ma'alin Bakodesh Ve'ein Moridin, where the Gemara had said that why does he first take the gold and then give away the silver? So the Gemara says, why does he first take the full and then give away the empty? Because my time, you might have said it's because he might give away gold and take silver, and Rashi says that's a horada b'kedusha. So the Gemara says, Hachanami, maybe he'll give away a more expensive one and take a less expensive one. So therefore, the Gemara just says the only reason that it was all gold in one row and all silver in the other row was because it looks nice. It's aesthetically pleasing by having the different rows. This is, just to point out, I didn't get to mention it yesterday, this is a unusual usage of the concept of Ma'alin Bakodesh Vein Moridin. Usually Ma'alin Bakodesh applies to Cheftzes. If you have if you have something with a certain level of Kedusha, you could sell it to buy something with more Kedusha. If you have a mezuzah, you could sell it to buy Tefillin, because there's more Kedusha. Tefillin to buy, say, for Torah. You can always go up in Kedusha. It usually has to do with Cheftzes. And all of a sudden here, it has to do with Gavras, with people. That you are going down, related to you, you're giving away, at least in the Havamina, you're giving away something gold and getting something silver. Just another place where this unusual usage comes up, and maybe that's why the emphasis is made, is the first line of Hilchas Tefillin. In Simen Chav Hei, in Shulchan Aruch, the Shulchan Aruch says, something that we do every day, Acher Shalavash Talis Mitzuyatz Yaniach Tefillin. First you put on your talis, and then you put on your tefillin. That's why the next line of the Gemara says, Ein Mavir Nala Mitzvahs. That's why we have to situate our talis in a way where we take the talis out first, so that we don't have to pass by the mitzvahs. It says the Shulchan Aruch, after you put on your talis, you put on your tefillin. Shem Ma'alin Bakodesh. You go up in Kedusha. And says the Bir Halacha, the first Bir Halacha in Ilchas Tefillin, says the Bir Halacha, Al Ha'adam Ka'i. This is referring to the person, because he also knows this is an unusual usage. So he says, Al ha'adam kai, shetzarech leilech mi darga ledarga ulehisalos bikdusha. Ki bitchila hu rak mechas es atzma bekisui shal mitzvah, via yideida tfilin hu mekasher es atzmo bekesher ha'yichud v'hakdusha. Or in another way, first he uses a talis, which is tashmishe mitzvah, and then he puts on the tefillin, which is tashmishe kedusha, a higher level of kedusha. But again, it has to do with the gavra. So maybe that's what the Chavetz Chaim here is emphasizing, because also it is an unusual usage. That's number one. Number two is, I saw again in the Chashuke Chemed, he discusses related to Ein Mavir Nala Mitzvahs, which we mentioned yesterday, right before we stopped, that the reason that you first take the previous halacha that we just spoke about was the reasons why you have one line of gold and one line of silver. Now then the Gemara says, why do you have first take the full and then give away the empty? Because ein ma'avirin al ha-mitzvahs. And as the Meiri explained, getting the full one is mitzvah, giving away the empty one is just a hechsher mitzvah, a step to do the mitzvah again, so that's why you push that aside. So the Chashuke Chebet talks about the following case. There was a shul, which there were a bunch of minyanim going on, I guess it was a minyan factory, and one minyan got to Kriyas HaTorah, they didn't have a Torah, so they're going to go to another room to get a Sefer Torah. But they saw that the other minyan had finished laning, and the Magbia was holding the Torah. The Magbia was sitting down holding the Torah. So the question is, so the easy way is just to take it. So, but the person who went in didn't want to just take it, because his wife was in her ninth month. So he wanted to do a psicha. So he wanted to pass by the Torah and go to the Aron in order to, the Chida quotes this minag of in the ninth month, you know, to have a school of an easy labor, so that's to open up psicha. So you had to pass by the Magbia holding a Torah in order to go get another Sefer Torah from the Aron. That was the question asked to Rav Zilberstein. He didn't want to take it. And you have to open the Aron. That's one. Or, he said a similar shaila came up one morning on a Shabbos, similar type of case where somebody comes in, but the minion who was holding the Torah didn't want them to take the Torah. Why? Because they wanted to say, you can perk on holding the Torah. Right? If you look in the postgame in Hilcha Shabbos, you can perk on is a special school at the state holding the Torah, because it's a tefillah for all those who learn Torah, for all those who are osek in Torah, so they didn't want to give away the Torah. They said, we want to put it back first, and then you'll take it from the Aron. So it's kind of the opposite case. So he says, Tshuva Nire, he says, Delo Yotzi Sefer Torah Me Aron HaKodesh. He says, in either case, he says, in the first case, you shouldn't go to the Aron, take the Sefer from the Magbia and Ein Mavir Nala Mitzvahs. Again, this is a din versus a skula, you might say. There's a din of Ein Mavir Nala Mitzvahs. There's a skula in the Chida, which is a wonderful skula if one wants to do it. But to violate a din because of that we don't go so far. But he quotes in the other way, that he thinks that the minion itself has the right to say, no, we're keeping this Torah for you, Kumperkan. Because there are sources that say that you shouldn't put back the Torah until afterwards, and it has to do with the kavanah of the tefillah. So he thinks that they have to wait in order that the first minyan finishes, and it's not a tircha de sibura. Not a tircha de sibura, because this is the halacha. So that is something related to ein mavir and ala mitzvahs. And finally, the last thing I wanted to talk about before we move on, and that is, we spoke that in the Mishnah it says, Shachat Yisrael v'kibel ha-kohen. The Yisrael shechts, and the kohen does the rest of the avodah, the kabbalah, the catching the blood, the holacha, the walking it, and the zrika, the sprinkling. So he mentioned that the Gemara says that this is alluding to the fact, Shechita k'sheira bizar. The only one of the adalat avodos that a Yisrael is allowed to do is the shechita. By the way, Yisrael, we mentioned yesterday, the Yisrael does the hashata. I just wanted to make sure the Yisrael is the one that does the skinning. They're the ones that are holding the arms. But the Gemara alludes to the concept, or says it, Shechita k'sheira bizar. So there are many makoros on both sides of the issue whether there's a lechatchila for a Yisrael to do it. We know Yisrael can do it, but is there a lechatchila for Yisrael to do the shechita? Or is it that no? Even it's better for a Kohen to do the shechita. After all, the rest of the avodah is done by the Kohen, so it's better for the Kohen to do it. Or do you say, no, misvara, no, this is the only thing Yisrael could do, so he might as well do it. He adds his nofach, his own element is added when they do the shechita. So just two or three makoros related to this discussion. There is a Mishnah in Kalim that has to do with this. What does the Mishnah in Kalim say? The Mishnah, in the first parak in Kalim, first lists all the avos atoma, and then it lists all the 10 different levels of kedusha in Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is more mekudesh than Chutzlaret. Then Yerushalayim is more mekudesh than the rest of Eretz Yisrael. Then Harabai is more mekudesh than Yerushalayim. And it goes all the way until the Kodesh Kadashim, which is the final holiest place in the entire world. So in there, once it gets within the walls of Harabayis, so every makum in the Harabayis is more kadosh than the outer one, because less people could enter into that spot. Obviously the Kodesh Kadashim is only Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. Except according to the Gra, the Meshech Chachma, maybe the Kohen Gadol, whenever he wants to do the Avodah of Yom Kippur, any day of the year. That's what they hold. But in general, the Zos Yavo Aaron HaKodesh is on Yom Kippur. That's the Pashas. So it says, one of the levels is Ezras Nashim Mekudeshes Mimenu. The Azara, the Ezras Nashim, is holier than anything outside of that area, because a Tful Yom can't go in there. Tful Yom, somebody who went to the mikveh already and is waiting for nightfall. Then, Ezras Yisrael Mekudeshes Mimenu, going further in, the second type of Azara, the Ezras Yisrael, is more Mekudesh, because another type of people can't go in. Ezras Koa, the Azara of the Kohanim, which is closest to the Mizbeach, Mekudesh Esvimena, that's even holier than the outer Azaros, She'ein Yisrael Nechnasim L'Sham El B'Shas Sarcheihem. Because Yisraelim, non-Kohanim, can only go there except when they need to. What are their needs? The Mishnah gives three examples. Smicha, Shechita, and Tnufa. When they have to be somich on their carbon, when they have to wave their carbon, and when they have to shech their... What do you mean when they have to shech their carbon? Let the Kohen shech their carbon. The Sama Parshim say, Dafka Shechitas Litzarcheim. The Eliyahu Rabbah on the Mishnah says, Lechatchila with the Bailam. That's what we learn from this Mishnah. This is considered a Tzorich of the Bailam. Again, just one other Makar, and then we'll move on, because we want to get moving today. One other Makar that has to do with this. The Rishash says, maybe this whole discussion, whether it's Kshir Bazar and Lechatchila Bailam or Lechatchila Bakoin, was a Machlokas, not Amaraim, not Tanaim, but a Machlokas between Eli and Shmuel. Eli and Shmuel. Says the Gemara in Brachas Daf Lamed Aleph of a base. Shmuel was a Mora, based on a pasuk, that Shmuel was Mora Halacha Bifnei Rabo. Why? Because the Gemara tells a story based on Sukkim. Amar Lahen Eli, Kiru Kohen Velesi Velishchot. Eli, in the base of Migdash, the beginning of Shmuel Aleph, says, bring a Kohen a Shecht. Chazinu Shmuel de Kahavi Mahaji Basar Kohen Lemishchat. Shmuel saw that he was looking for a Kohen. Amar Lahu Lama Luchuladuri Basar Kohen. What are you looking for a Kohen for? Lemishchat. Shechita Bizar Kseira. Shechita Kseira Bizar. What are you looking for a Kohen for? They brought Shmuel in front of Eli, little Shmuel. Amalei minalachaha. How do you know that? How do you know the shkidah shir bizar? So he tells him the makar that was in Argamar yesterday, that miksiv v'shachar ha-kohen, says v'kriva ha-kohen, shkidah shir bizar. So says Eli, Amalei, meimer shaper ka'amrit. Okay, you're right. But you were more halacha b'fnei rabo, therefore you're chayiv misa. Says, you're right, but I have to kill you. So then Chana davins, and Chana saves her life. It says the Rishash on this Gemara in Brachos, what was the machlokas here? Eli knew the halacha. Right, Eli was the Kohen Gadol. His sons were not tzaddikim, but he was a tzaddik. Say, what was the problem here? So he suggests that maybe that's the issue here. Shmuel was saying, there's no lechatchila with a Kohen. Just find any Yisrael to do it. Mashiach, Eli was looking for a Kohen, because maybe he held lechatchila for a Kohen to do it. Again, there are a number of other makoros. Maybe some suggest you can be mechalik between a carbon yachid and a carbon sibur. that maybe a carbon yachid there is a lechatchila, maybe a carbon tzibur not, because the Mishnah says in Yuma that the first goral, the first lottery they had every morning was for the shechita of the Talmud. What do you mean the shechita? Why they have a lottery? A Yisrael could even do it. So the Ritva and the Meiri there say maybe because it was the Talmud was a chaviv carbon, they loved it so much, and it was a tzibur carbon, that made it different. So again, a carbon tzibur might be different than a carbon yachid. Again, all of these are various issues in the sugya of whether when the Gemara says shechita, ksheir bizar, does that mean even lechachila with a Yisrael, with the owner, or should it even be done lechachila with a kohen? Okay, various halachas that come up from that line. Okay, and also Barovam Hadras, getting back to the Gemara, again, a lot of Yesodos came up on yesterday's Amud Beis. Barovam Hadras Melech is also something that's very halach l'maisa. Better to do mitzvahs one person making kiddush for everybody versus everybody making their own kiddush. Okay, now we move on. Says the Gemara, Kohen HaKarov Eitzel HaMizbeach. We're up to the two dots. Kohen HaKarov Eitzel HaMizbeach. The Kohen that's next to the Mizbeach. Remember, we had the line. You have the whole line of Kohanim. The last Kohen next to the Mizbeach gets the Dam, and he pours it, or he throws it, onto the Mizbeach. One throw, because as we said, the Pesach only needs one throw on the Mizbeach. Keneged HaYisod. The Mishnah has said that you throw it on a wall where it will flow down to the base, which is somewhere on the north or on the west side of the Mizbeach. But that's where we said the Yisod goes along the whole way. On the east and on the south side, it was just a little amma indented on each side. So that's what it meant, Keneged HaYisod. Mantana Pesach Mizrika. The Yisod is the Sovev you're talking about? The Sovev was a little higher. The Yisod was on the bottom. The Yisod was on the bottom. There were a few levels that went around. So Matana Pesach Mizrika, who is the one that says, like our Mishnah says, that Karan Pesach requires Zrika? Rashi quotes that there's a Gemara later on, that there's a machlokas whether Pesach is Bizrika or Bishficha. Do you have to throw it or just like pour it and turn it over? So our Gemara uses the Lashon of Zrika. What's the difference? Whether you're allowed to stand a little bit farther away. Do you have to be right mamish on top of the Mizbeach and then you can just turn it over? Or do you have to throw it? That's a zrika. That's a throwing. So our Mishnah uses the lashon of zrika achas al gabi hamizbeach. So who is the author? Who is the one that holds that? Amar Rav Chizkiya Rabbi Yosi Aglili. That's Rabbi Yosi Aglili. The Tanya, the Brisa says later on, Rabbi Yosi Aglili, Omer es damam tizrok al hamizbeach. The pasuk in Bamidbar, which is about meiser. Which is about Meiser Behema, which we spoke about in the past, that every tenth one, you send through a fence and you mark it with a red paint, so you'll know which one is Meiser. The luck with Meiser is you have to bring that up to the Beis HaMikdash, and it belongs to the Yisrael. You could eat it. It's like a shlomim, kachshei kalim. Bechor, you have to give to the Kohen. There are three animals that we're going to discuss now. Bechor, Meiser, and Pesach. All of those are grouped together in the Mishnah in Ezeo Makoman, and all of those are similar in that they only need one zrika, or one throwing, next to the Mizbeach. They're all low-level shlamims, low-level kachshei kalim. So the pasuk here is talking about Meiser. As damam tizrok al Mizbeach, ves chalbam taktir damo. It's blood you shall throw on the Mizbeach, and it's chalev, it's fast you shall burn. But the Gemara points out that though it's talking about Meiser, the words here are in plural. Damo lo ne'emar ela damam. It doesn't say its blood, but their blood. Chelbo lo ne'emar ela chelbam. Their fat. So that's why lamad al bechor v'hamaiser v'hapesach. So the Gemara says, so it must be that this pasuk is referring to the whole, all three karbanos, which form a group, because all of these three are the ones that only need one sprinkling on the mizbeach. All other karbanos need more. A shlamim and an ola and an asham needs two shtayim shein arba on the two opposite corners. A chatas needs on all four corners. So everything else needs more, but these three need just one. So that's why we assume that they're included in the pasuk when it says plural. Language. Shehein tu'unim matan damim. They need putting on the mizbeach. Ve'imurim l'gabei mizbeach. So that is how we know that they're all similar. And here it's used in the lashon of tizrok. That's how you know it needs a zrika and not a shefichah. Minolon de tu'unin yisod. How do you know? So we know that it needs a zrika. How do you know that the pesach needs to be done keneged yisod, the base? Rabbi Elazar, Asya Zrika Zrika Me'ola. You learn it from Karban Ola. Ksif Hasam es Damam Tizrok al Mizbeach. It says here, by these Karbanos, the pasuk that we just quoted, Ksif Hasam, and it says, by the beginning of Sefer Vayikra, Vizarku B'nei Aaron Akonim Es Damo al Mizbeach Saviv. B'nei Aaron will sprinkle the blood on the Mizbeach Saviv. Ma ola ta'una yisod. So therefore, we have a right. We have a hekesh. Right, a zarku as tamalam as beach. Both psukim. So we compare ma ola just like the latter pasuk needs yisod. Pesach namitan yisod. So do the grand pesach needs yisod. Ask the gemara for 1 second. The ola gufa minalan. That pasuk says nothing about yisod. How do you know the ola needs yisod? And you learn the carbon pesach from it. Amakra, a different pasuk. El yisod mizbach ha'ola. The pasuk says by a different carbon. Rashi says by a chatas nasi, but it uses the language. You have to sprinkle it by the yisod of the mizbach ha'ola. Why didn't it just say el yisod ha'mizbeach? What do you mean mizbach ha'ola? So it's to teach me alma ola to uni yisod. It's to teach me mizbeach ha'ola that the connect yisod to ola, that even the ola requires sprinkling on the yisod. Period. Yatsakat Rishona. So remember the Mishnah yesterday. The first group goes out, the second one comes in, the second group comes out. Tana, he nikres kat atzlanis. The third group was called the lazy group. Right? Why? Because, you know, they were the third group. So ask the Gemara, what do you mean? Follow Sagim Talavachi. Somebody had to be third. So what do you mean? Oh, they're calling them lazy. Maybe they were the ones that didn't push. Maybe the ones, they were the tzaddikim. They were like, okay, please. There were a lot of Jews there. So maybe they were the good ones. So says the Gemara, no. My have the Mebed. So the Gemara asks, what should they have done? So Afilu Hachi says the Gemara, no. Iboy luhu lirzuze nafshayu. If they really had Zrizus, you know, they would have been part of the first group. Not pushing, chas v'shalom. They would have gotten there earlier. They would have made sure to be part of the first group. So, in a certain way, that they should have been mizaris themselves to be part of the first group. I don't know if I mentioned yesterday, there were some darshanim on the Mishnah that say that's what alluded to when it says that in the third group they never got up to ahafti ki ishma Hashem eskoli because they had a certain level of priestess in their avas Hashem. That's why they never got up to ahafti. That pasuk in Hallel really is a remez to this idea. They were lazy. Kidatanya, where else do you see that somebody should be mizaris themselves? Rabbi Omer efshar. Actually, before we get even to the mashal, what does this Gemara say? They should have done it themselves. It's similar, not exactly. If you remember, we had a Gemara earlier. It was a Shabbos on Daf Nun Gimel, where we spoke about that we should have learned the Kal Vachomer from the Tzvardeya. Remember, Chananel Mishael Vazaria, right? There was a say on Daf Nun Gimel on the Beis. Gemara there says, Nasu Kal Vachomer Ba'atzam Yitzvardim. They jumped into the Kivshan Ha'esh, they jumped into the fiery furnace, Chananel Mishael Vazaria, because they learned the Kal Vachomer from the frogs. If the frogs, by Makat Tzvardeya, weren't mitzuveh, and still they jumped in, we were mitzuvah on Kiddush Hashem, surely we should jump in. Right, so that's the question. So many of the Mefarshim on the Gemara ask, what do you mean they're not mitzuvah on Kiddush Hashem? Right, so what's the connection? What's the parallel between the frogs and Chananel Mishael Vazaria? And also there's frogs, you know, not all of them, you know, they went all over Mitzrayim. So say, some of the Mefarshim, a number of people say this, some of the Bali Musar, that really every frog could have said to themselves, you know, I'm going to go into the fields. I'm going to go into the beds. But Nasu Kal Vachomer, that they wore mitzuba and they still went into the ovens. They wanted to be Moshe Nevesh. They wanted to be Mizaris themselves and jump in. They wanted to be those. That's the Kal Vachomer. Of course, these frogs weren't mitzuba, but they could have taken the easy way out. And yet, they were Mizaris themselves. They forced themselves. So too, says the Chananel Mishael Vazaria, we'll push ourselves and we'll be Mizaris ourselves. Similarly here, that Ibai Lezuzin Afshayu, right? They should have. They should have taken it upon themselves and been part of the first group. Kidatanya, as the Brisa says, Rebbe Omer, Efshila Olam Below Bosim Below Bursi. The world can't exist without people who make perfume and people who work in a tannery, which is very foul smelling. Ashrei mi, the world needs both. Ashrei mi shum naso bosim, oilo mi shum naso bursi. Praise is the one, even though you need both, but you know, you should try to be a bosim and not a bursi. Because that's the world needs that, but you should try to put yourself, help yourself to be in a sweet-smelling profession. The Gemara has a somewhat difficult line to understand. V'i efshar la'olam below zacharim u'below nekevos. Ashrei mi shebanav zacharim, oilo mi shebanav nekevos. All right, so the difficulty is how should we in our modern, you know, mentality, even not modern mentality, what is Chazal trying to tell us here? So I didn't get to look at it. Somebody told me there's a Kol Eliyahu on this. I wasn't home last night, so somebody says the Grug gives a shot on this one line. But there's a Gemara in Sanhedrin. This is beyond your control, whether you have, even though the Gemara Nida says, right, Ish Mazria Tchila or Ish Mazras Tchila, whatever that means, whether that's a medical or something else. But I saw two thoughts that one could say. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, when it quotes this, says it, this is the simple shot, the Pashup shot, and that is, people are more worried about their daughters. Just, you're more worried. They're less, they're more, they're able, subject to the elements more than men, more than boys, and they're worried about shiduchim maybe more than by the daughters, more than the girls. So again, maybe that's what it means. Oilo, because you know you're more worried about the nekevus. Another chat I saw though from the Chassam Sofer, and that is you find a number of places in Chazal that zachar symbolizes to be mashpia, and a nekeva is a makabel. And the keva, females in many ways are makablim, and zachars are mashpiyim. So maybe that's what it means, that you should have children, not males and females, but your children should be zachar, which symbolizes mashpiyim, should have effect, there should be mashpiyah on many people in life. They shouldn't be just the kevas, makablim, people who take and accept, and not mashpiyim. Okay, that is one idea that the Chassam Sofer suggests here about zachar and the keva. Okay, let's continue. Says the Gemara, "Kemaaseu b'chol," just like they did it on weekday in the Beis Hamikdash, they also did it on Shabbos. But the Mishnah adds on that they used to wash the azara shelo b'ritzon chachamim. They used to wash the azara. You know, they take out the plug, put the plug back in. So what was wrong? What were they doing wrong? So says the Gemara, "Shelo b'ritzon man." Who were the rabbis? Which opinion was against what they were doing in the Mishnah? So two possibilities. Amar Rav Chisda, "Shelo b'ritzon Rabbi Eliezer." Maybe it's against Rabbi Eliezer's opinion. I mean, Rabbi Eliezer would have been upset based on what they were doing. Which Rabbi Eliezer? We'll see. Di Rabbanan ha'amri shvusu ve'in shvus b'mikdash. There's going to be a machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and the Rabbanan, whether this is a da'oraisa or a da'rabanan, what they did. So according to the Rabbi Eliezer, who's going to hold his da'oraisa, so that according to him, that's why he was shalom b'ritzon chachamim. But according to the Rabbanan, who are going to hold that it's only da'rabanan, so then ein shvus b'mikdash, and it would not be a problem. Which Rabbi Eliezer, which Rabbanan? My he, the Tanya. The b'raisa that we had, Masechta Shabbos, echad hacholi. If somebody milks a cow on Shabbos, v'hamachabetz, or somebody curdles milk on Shabbos, separates the whey from the rest of the milk, v'hamagat, which is the malacha of borer, cholev is a malacha of dush, v'hamagabein, or somebody makes cheese on Shabbos, which the Gemara there says is a malacha of bone, building, kigrogeris, the shear for all these is a grogeris. These first three, everybody agrees, Rashi says, is daraisa. That's not under discussion. The next ones are under discussion. These three that we just had is daraisa. But hamachabed, somebody sweeps on Shabbos, or yantif, v'hamarabets, somebody who sprinkles water in order to keep the dust down. You take honey out of the honeycomb on Shabbos. Bishogeg, b'Shabbos chayev chatas. On a shogeg, on Shabbos is chayev chatas, which means it's daraisa. He's it b'yantif lokas arbam. And if you did it on purpose on yantif, you get malchus. Divrei Rabbi Eliezer. So Rabbi Eliezer says, all of these items are daraisa. So the Gemara somehow is comparing the sweeping and the sprinkling of the water to whatever, however they actually did the cleaning in the Beis HaMikdash. And the Gemara is assuming that that's a daraisa, according to the Pashup Shad of the Gemara. And that's why Rabbi Lazar, it would be Shalom Ritzon Rabbi Lazar. The Chachamim say, according to them, it wouldn't be a problem what the Kohanim did. Why? Because according to either one of them, according to, in all these cases, even by the latter group, by Mechabed Merabis, wrote the Chalos Vash, those are only Drabanan. Right, sweeping is only Drabanan because you might smooth out, might fill up holes, because you'll be sweeping, you want to fill up the holes. Or the other ones, you know, they're all Drabanan. So if it's all Drabanan, ain't Shvus B'Mikdash. That is all option number one in the Gemara, that when the Mishnah says that the Kohanim went against the rabbi's opinion, who were those rabbis? That was the Shita of Rabbi Lazar, who would include this in an Isser Da'oraisa. That is number one. Then the Gemara says the second option, Ravashi Amar, Afilu Teim Shelo B'Ritzon Chachamim. Even the Shelo B'Ritzon Chachamim, that could even be non-Rabbi Lazar, even according to the Rabbanan. But who? Reb Nasani. But it's also based on Reb Nasani's opinion. Titania, Reb Nasan Omer, Shvus Tzricha Hitiru, Shvus Einet Sheinet Tzricha Lo Hitiru. Chazal never allowed you to do a Shvus, a Durabban in the Beis HaMikdash, if there was another option. If there's another option, then you're not allowed to do a Shvus. Even according to the Rabbanan, there are other options. You didn't have to clean out the Azara today, right? You'll do it a different day. You'll wait till after Shabbos. So therefore, maybe even the Rabbanan, who says Drabbanan, would agree that it was Shelo B'Ritzon Chachamim. Remember, they didn't stop the Kohanim from doing it. They were just upset about it. So it might make sense that it was a Drabbanan, which really they could have waited, but they didn't stop them. So that's why they waited. Tosfos here has a different shot of what the Gemara means in the Hava Amina. In the first option. Remember, the first option of interpreting the Mishnah was that the Mishnah is against Rabbi Lazar, because Rabbi Lazar holds that these are daraisa. Says Tosfos, what do you mean it's daraisa? Sweeping is daraisa? Is this psik reisha or is it not psik reisha? Psik reisha, you don't have kavanah to do the malacha, right? As we said, psik reisha, you're dragging a heavy bench across soft dirt. So if for sure the malacha is going to happen, we know psik reisha, you're chayiv daraisa anyway, even if you don't have kavanah for the malacha. So is this a psik reisha when you sweep? If it is a psik reisha, then even the chachamim should agree it's daraisa. If it's not a psik reisha, then even Rabbi Elazar should agree it's not daraisa. So what's going on here? That's Tosfos. Al karcha chlab psik reisha hu. Tosfos says it must not be talking about a case of psik reisha. The psik reisha lo hayav yishar Reb Shimi, because nobody would agree it's mutter. That's an issa daraisa. So what's going on here? So it must not be psik reisha. So then ask Tosfos. So what's going on here? But tame alari. To imkain, fourth line of Tosfos. Amai machai Rabbi Elazar. Keep it the yachal yasas blogumos. If you could sweep without making holes, that's not a psik reisha. So why does he say it's an issa daraisa? So says Tosfos, big chiddush, that it must be that whenever you sweep, it's not shalom, it's always miskaven. You always have in the back of your mind also the kavana to smooth out. And that's the machlokas. The rabbanan say, no, you don't. You're just sweeping. You don't have kavana to do the malacha. And that's the machlokas. And by a davar ha-miskaven, then that's it. It's aser, it's aser. Then you don't have to get into the world of psik reisha. Psik reisha is only if you don't have kavana. Do you say it automatically happens or not? That is Tosfos' first pshat. Then Tosfos in the second half asks something that gets the very halacha l'maisa. Middle Tosfos, Tema Lari. We're talking about sweeping the Azara. The Azara had a marble floor. What kind of Ashwiya Gumos are we talking about here? We're talking about the Ritzvah Azara. Well, we know the Mishnah in Yuma says that one time there was a Kohen who saw one of the tiles that was a little bent up, and he knew that's where the Aron was dug underneath, and he started going to tell his friends, and he dropped dead. That's what the Mishnah in Yuma says. Right, Kadosh Baruch Hu didn't want anybody finding where the Aron was buried. But there were tiles there. So what are we talking about? So it says Tosfos, V'tei Malari, Heichim Yitzuk B'mazik Reb Elazar, V'abazar Shayla Ritzbas Avanim, L'shayach Hashvuyei Gumos. So it says Tosfos, maybe there was some dirt in between the tiles. It wasn't perfect like we have that, the white stuff, grout, thank you. Monty, you should have answered. Right? So we have the grout in between. So, you know, so maybe we don't have that. So it was dirt inside. So that's Ashwiya Gumos there. Then Tosfos gives a totally different shot of the Gemara. Then the Tosfos says, maybe the Gemara never meant it's Daraisa Mamish. Maybe, but it's because Rabbi Elazar generally holds it's Daraisa. So here too, he would be Gozer because you might get mixed up with the Daraisa. So that's his final suggestion. But in any case, this Tosfos in the second half brings up the issue of sweeping. So what are we passing, by the way, about sweeping? So generally, inside the house, on a hard floor, we say no problem. Even though, you know, outside to sweep is an issa d'rabbanan, to sweep a dirt floor outside is a d'rabbanan. For example, if somebody's sukkah is in their backyard on dirt and they want to sweep up their crumbs after the meal, they can't do that on Shabbos. Because that's a shvuyah, maybe not on Yantif either. Because that's a shvuyah gumos, if it's mamish on dirt, that's an issa drabanan. Because you might come to smooth out the floor. Same reason why you're not allowed to play any game outside where a ball rolls on the floor. Because you might come to be a shvuyah gumos. But what happens, the issue is, if it's inside the house, we're not gozer. Because we say, everybody nowadays, the Bir Halacha says in Shinlam and Zion, I think that's the Simon, nowadays, because we have all tiled insides, so therefore it's not a problem, you could sweep. You have to be worried about libun if you're sweeping on carpet. That's what we mentioned in last week's Shabbos here. But at least on a hard surface, there is no problem with sweeping, as long as it's a broom that the pieces aren't going to fall out of the broom. As long as it's a regular, modern broom. What about, the issue is, what about a hard surface that's outside? What if you have a porch, a patio outside the house? So that's outside the house already. So now that's a little more tricky, whether you let it sweep on there. So on dirt, outside, for sure, asa d'rabanan. On a hard surface, inside, for sure, mutter. What about if you have a hard surface outside the house? That's discussed in the post-gim. Look at the Shmir Shabbos, whether you're allowed to sweep there, or whether there you go there, mishum, a soft floor, which is outside. Was that included in the gzeira of Ashwiye Gumos? Okay, that is a discussion that Tosfos brings up. But anyway, getting back to our Gemara, the Gemara had two possibilities. Who were the Chachamim when the Mishnah said Shalom Bertzon Chachamim? Was it Rabbi Elazar, who answers this type of sweeping, maybe even Daraisa? Or was it Jah, and sweeping and watering? And that's the parallel. When they somehow cleaned the Beis HaMikdash, it was somehow violating that too. Or he says, even the Rabbanan, because there was an option. And even they say, Yesh Shvus BaMikdash, if there is an option for not violating it.
According to
the first version, it's Shalom Bertzon Chachamim is following the sheet of Rabbi Elazar. And Rabbi Elazar was Shamute also. Right, so why did they mean Shalom Bertzon Chachamim? I mean, that could explain why they didn't stop them. You know, if they didn't say if it was against, right, they didn't stop them. Oh, it's only against Rabbi Elazar. But that's who we're alluding to, that sheet.
Were these people actually there?
Were these people actually there?
What?
I think attributed. The people who follow his shita, you know, that's who it was being attributed against, that shita of Rabbi Elazar. Again, sometime now, I'm not sure. I have to look in the chronological lines. Was Rabbi Elazar, when did he live? There were Tanaim, Bizman Abayis. But I have to figure out exactly which ones. Okay, continues the Gemara. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Kos Hayim Amale. If we have time, we'll get back to Megabe, making cheese. We'll get back to, if we have time at the end. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Kos Hayim Amale V'chulu. Rabbi Yehuda says, at the end of the Mishnah, that they used to fill up a cup of blood from all the bloods at the end of the day, and they did one more Zrika on the Mizbeach. So, says the Gemara Tanya, why they do this? Rabbi Yehuda Omer Kos Hayim Amale Midama Ta'arobes. He picked up one cup from the floor. Why? Shemishafech damo shel achad mehem. Because if there had been one person's dam that had spilled out before it got to be nizrak on the mizbeach, nimsa zeh machshiro. So this is going to make this that carbon kosher. It's going to pick up blood, and we assume there's a drop of all the bloods. It's all mixed in. So there's all the bloods in this cup, and therefore it's just making sure that everybody has a good zrika. Amrlo the Rabbi Yehuda, b'alal lonus kabal b'kli. They say to Rabbi Yehuda, one second, it spilled out and it didn't have even Kabbalah. It went straight from the neck of the animal to the floor. That is puzzle. So that, how can you say this Rika is going to work? You miss Kabbalah Saddam. Without Kabbalah Saddam, without catching the blood in a Kli Shares, that is puzzle. So, Halon is Kabbalah B'Kli, so says the Gemara. What do I mean? Mina Yadi. The Gemara was so sure it wasn't his Kabbalah B'Kli. So the Gemara says, how does the Gemara know? Maybe there was Kabbalah Saddam and then it spilled. How do you know? So the Gemara says, Elahachi Kamerle. This is what we meant. Shem Halon is Kabbalah B'Kli. Right, we don't know, but maybe it wasn't. So how could you kasher all carbon pasach that spilled? Maybe it wasn't a skabal b'kli. So what's Rabbi Yehuda talking about? Amalahan. So Rabbi Yehuda says, you're right. Afanilo amarti ela ben skabal b'kli. So you're right. I only say this works for those which had a kabbalah sadam and then spilled out. Mina yada. So how do you know? How do you know which ones did and which ones didn't? They kept records. So the Gemara says, yeah, kodem reason main. There was reason. They'll be able to tell you which ones had a kabbalah sadam and which ones didn't. The Gemara says, he's reason, and Mayim Shtafach. They were so zrizus, they had it spill out in the first place. So the Gemara says, Agav zrizusayu da'avdi mishtafach. Sometimes you have a little too zariz, you know, you get too much in a little rush, and you're so excited about something, sometimes it spills out. Even though there was reason, there's so many thousands and thousands of sheep in the base of Migdash, sometimes it spills out, even though they're very focused, and they could keep track of which had Kabbalah, but sometimes things spill. Period. Ask the Gemara another question under Yehuda. Vahalo dam hatamsis mu'uravo. How could you say that this dam is going to work? There's a lot of dam mixed in on the floor that's not roi to be sprinkled on the mizbeach. Dam tamsis, which is the blood. Question exactly what it is, but it's non-life blood. Blood that comes out after the animal dies or before the animal is about to die. Either way, dam tamsis we paskin is not, at least the Gemara is assuming now, is not kosher for Zrika. So don't you have a lot of that dam mixed in here? So therefore, how is it kuta? Doesn't that passel the good dam inside? So two, Rabbi Yehuda l'taime. So the Gemara says, no, it's Rabbi Yehuda l'shitaso. Which Rabbi Yehuda? The Omar, the Rabbi Yehuda who says, dam tamsis, dam al yehu. Because Rabbi Yehuda holds that dam tamsis is good, full-fledged dam. The Tanya, because the Brisa says about drinking dam, dam tamsis bi azhara. The first, the Tanakhama says, it only gets an isser. Rabbi Yehuda Omar bi kares. Rabbi Yehuda says it's full-fledged dam, even a chiyuv kares if you drink the dam. So that's the Rabbi Yehuda. So therefore, when you mix it in from the floor, all the dam is called real dam. Says the Gemara, one second. V'yomer Rabbi Elazar, mod Rabbi Yehuda l'ini kapar shein ha-machaper. No, even Rabbi Yehuda who says that it's dam regarding drinking it in your chayef kares, even he would agree though that it's not good to be zorek on the mizbeach. It's not totally 100% dam. Shenemar ki adam hu benefesh yichaper. Because the pasuk says regarding the zrikas adam, dam hu, with the dam, the soul will get a kapara. And we have a drasha. Dam shehanefesh yotzei bo mechaper, the dam through which the soul leaves, which is the dam hakaza, the dam that goes out right away. That's what achieves the kapara if you sprinkle it. Dam sheena nefesh yotzei bo mechaper, but dam that the blood does not go out, the soul does not go out with, meaning dam tamsis, is not mechaper. So even Rabbi Yehuda said that dam tamsis is not fully dam. So again, we're back to the original question. How could Rabbi Yehuda say you just pick up a cup of the mixture of blood and sprinkle it? There's some pasul blood in here. So we say it is Rabbi Yehuda l'shitaso, but a different Rabbi Yehuda. Eller, different l'shita of Rabbi Yehuda. Eller, Rabbi Yehuda l'taime, da'amar ein dam avatel dam. Rabbi Yehuda shita in Yaradeya, min bemino eino batel. That if you have two of the same type in a mixture, the only time that you have the dine bittel, where one ruins the other one, if there is a clash. If there's a clash, then one overpowers the other. But if you have milchitz and fleishiks, if you have isser and heter, but if you have dam and dam, so they can live together with each other. And therefore, even though there is dam tamsis in here, which is not ro'i, but you also have the good dam in here, and that's good enough for the for Rabbi Yehuda. So why were the Chacham upset? Because maybe they didn't. Maybe the Chachamim there was the one that didn't hold in with dam of atal dam. Right? Rashi here quotes that we hold that many of the Chachamim hold not that way. Maybe hold the Chachamim hold not that way. Tanya, Amr lahen Rabbi Yehuda l'Chachamim l'divreichem lama poken nisazara. Rabbi Yehuda says, one second, Chachamim, I have a good reason why we stuff up the bottom of the Azara so that the blood stays in the Azara. You know why? Because I want to get, at the end of the day, I want to get a cup of blood to be able to be Zorig. But according to you, why do they stuff at the bottom of the Azara? Why do they just let the blood flow out, you know, through and through? The assumption is that everybody agrees that you're stuffing up the bottom of the Azara for a certain amount of time on Erev Pesach. Yeah.
It's a technical question.
Yeah.
How are you applying blood that's been sitting?
How do you apply blood that's been sitting? Meaning what? Did it congeal?
Correct.
Did it congeal? So I guess at that time they were walking around. We'll get to in a second. We'll get to in a second what's going on in the Beis HaMikdash. But the Inachinami. No, that's exactly ours. Exactly what the Mishnah said yesterday. That's why the bottom of the bowls had points. So I guess as the Kohanim were walking around, maybe they didn't let it kajia. But we'll get to that in a second. An amazing line. So asks the Gemara, asks Rabbi Yehuda, why do they stuff up the floor? Amrulo, look at this line. They said to him, Shevachu lebnei Aaron, sheyelchu ad arkuvo sehem badam. Is a shevach to the Kohanim to be knee-deep in blood. That's what it says. We can't even fathom. Can't even fathom. But again, you know, blood grosses us out. But even a little bit of... but again, you think about it. Somebody said to me yesterday, so I asked to talk to them about this, but, you know, you ask somebody who's used to working in a certain area, you go to a doctor, who's like certain... If you're not a doctor, you can't fathom how doctors, you know, look at certain things all day because it grosses a non-doctor out. Or a butcher. Imagine a butcher shechting hundreds and hundreds of, you know, birds in a morning. Then he goes to eat lunch. You know, we could like say he's blood all over him, and he's sitting. You know, because we positively go into an Empire factory, so he makes one bracha, and there's an assembly line. He just takes the bird. He just goes, and he just, you know, and he does it. How many birds he shechs in an hour? I remember Rabbi Ganak and one of our shiurim in Smichi told us it's an unfathomable amount of birds that every shochi does in a day. It's unbelievable. Imagine how many Empire chickens there are in America, and how many every family goes through. But again, it's an amazing. But again, that's the sheva. But I saw a beautiful thought in the Be'iri Hadaf here, that there's a Yalkut Shimoni in Parshas Toldos, when Yaakov says to Esav, I want the brachas. And Esav says, no. And Yaakov says, he shoveled, he swear to me. So what was Esav's thought? So Rashi quotes a little bit of this on the Parsha. Rashi quotes that Esav says, what's the Bechorah? It's the Avodah and the Beis HaMikdash? Ah, I'm not interested. Oh, there's a Mesiris Nefesh there. I'm going to die if I don't do it properly. But the Medrash in the Yalkut Shimoni says that he hated it. What did he hate? He hated the dam. Sone es hadam. Rabbi Levi omer zed dam mila. Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachman omer zed dam karbanos. So you see, Esav had a sinna for the dam. So you know what? Esav, who was so interested in killing, all of a sudden he comes to the dam of the behemoths, we say, oh, I'm such a tzaddik, I'm not interested in the dam. So we yudafka lehefech. We have such hatred, we have such ritzicha, it's so foreign to us, where we are rachmanim, baishanim, v'gomlin chasadim. But when it comes to the dam of karbanis, the mitzvah, we have an ahava. We love having it, a knee-deep in dam. Dafka, what Esav rejected. That's why we're so happy to have the dam. That's why the Kohanim are so happy to be in the dam. That's also why it might be, why does the Gemara say the Kohanim? The Yisraelim are also knee-deep in dam. Why dafka the Kohanim? The Yisraelim were shechting there too. No, dafka the Kohanim, because they were the ones that took the avodah from Esav. So dafka, they had this simcha, because it was the anti-Esav, they had the simcha. Says the Gemara, continuing, v'haka chayitz. We know that there can't be any chatzitzas between the begadim of the Kohen and the Kohen, and also the floor of the Beis HaMikdash, and the feet. We mentioned the Kohen can't stand on a cushion. So doesn't the blood represent the chatzitza? He's on top of dam, between his feet and the floor. So the Gemara says, lachu ve'eno chotzeitz. No, it's moist. Moist liquid is not chotzeitz. That's what we pass in Yoredeya, in Hilchos Tefillah. That if you have some type of if you have dry blood on skin, then that's chatzitza. You have to make sure to get that off. But if you have something moist, if it's wet, that is not a chatzitza. If you have let's say a crust around the eyes, So a woman, before she goes to the mikveh, has to make sure she has no crust, dry crust on the eyes. Let's say she has moisture just coming out, a tear duct or something. We'll say that's okay. That's moist. Moist doesn't represent the chatzitza. It's constantly moving, and therefore it does not represent the chatzitza. Kid Tanya, as the Braisa says, Hadam v'hadio v'hachalo v'hadvash, blood, ink, milk, or honey, yeveshim chotisin, when they're dry, they're chotis, lachanin chotisin. But if they're moist, they do not represent the chatzitza. Ah, another problem. Akamisvasi manayu, aren't the big day kahuna getting all dirty? Vitanya, and it says in a brisa in Zvachim, Hayu begadav mitushtashin. Might have been discussed there. If the Kohen's begadim are dirty and messy, va'avad, and he does the avoda, avodaso psula. Right, a Kohen has to be, he's the officer of the melech. He's with the Tzivos Hashem. So he does the avoda, it's avodaso psula. How much is dirty? What if he has one stain? You know, so the Chavetz Chaim in Likutei Halachos in Zvachim says it has to be that you'd be embarrassed to stand in front of a king that way. If you have so much, it's not just one stain. The Gemara Shabbos says any Talmud Chacham that has a Revav al Big Dough, okay, that's a Chayiv Misa. But this is Wednesday, but that's a Psula only if you have such a mess. Let's
so,
yeah?
It's true, you have the stains because of the Avoda?
Oh, so you might say these stains are because of the Avoda, so it's not. So, that's what the Gemara is assuming. The Gemara is going to have a different answer, but you're right. You might have said, what do you mean? These stains will shame the Melech. Right, it's inachinami, it's a good question. Yeah, Aaron? Oh, it's a good question. So why did the Gemara say that they weren't makpid about it? You know, so it wasn't a chatzitza. We know Hilchas Chatzitza is, you know, d'oraisa, you need rubo and makpid. D'rabbanan, rubo or makpid. D'rabbanan, we try to get off everything. Aye, they weren't makpid. So a similar question is asked by the Shus Yaakov. Shus Yaakov says there's a halacha that by a butcher, if a butcher is full of dam, he's not makpid. So the Shus Yaakov suggests that halacha only applies on a beged, not on skin. On skin, then maybe it's automatically would be a case of makbid. Because he's only not makbid also in the Beis HaMikdash. If he'd be home, he wouldn't want to be walking around in blood. So in a chanami, in the situation per se, you know, he would be makbid. But if there's a case where he would be makbid outside, similar to the ring case, right? We pass it in Shulchan Aruch. The woman has her ring on 99.9% of the time. She takes it off to wash the Tzilas Yadayim. That's called makbid. That's called, the answer is in a chanami. We pass it. If there's ever a time that she would be makbid, then we tell her to take off the ring. So here too, because they'll be makbid outside the Beis HaMikdash. Continues the Gemara, v'chitema, so the Gemara's question is, how can they do the avoda? Their begadim are unclean. V'chitema, demadi lo lemanayu, if you're going to tell me, they lift up their clothing, they lift up their pants, they're michnasayim. V'hatanya, they can't do that. Midovad, there's a drasha on midovad, mido kemidaso, shalayechzer v'yo yosir. There's a special halacha that the begadim have to be the exact size of a kohen, and they have to wear it perfectly. Not just the din in the chefza of the begadim, but they have to wear it perfectly. They can't lift them up. That's why there's a ramp, so their feet, the legs don't go up so much. So they can't lift them up. That'll be a problem in the avoda. So it says the Gemara, Baholochas Ebarim Lekevesh, Delav Avodi. You know what we're talking about here? That they were knee deep in dam when they did holacha. Holochas Ebarim to the Mizbeach. They bring the limbs of the animal to the Mizbeach, because that's a low level avoda. Question what this means. We know Shechita is a real avoda. Kabbalah is a real avoda. Zrik is a real avoda. Holacha, number three, the Gemara says, is that really needed? Let's say you shecht right near the Mizbeach. You don't need holacha. So maybe halacha isn't really an avoda. That's what the Gemara says here. Maybe it's during halacha, and halacha doesn't have the status of a regular avoda. Says the Gemara, yes it does. Below, v'hami d'boy kahuna avodi. The fact that a Yisrael can't do it, a Kohen must do it, shows that it is an avoda. Titania, as the Brisa says, the hikra v'kohen is a kol ha-mizbecha, zu halacha zeivarim lekevesh. Right, it says it's learned that from a pasuk, halacha. So the Gemara says, okay, this is what it's meant. Ella baholachas eitzim lama'aracha, delav avodi. We're talking about bringing the wood to the mizbeach, which is not an avoda. And that's when they're allowed to get their begadim dirty, because it's not a real avoda. Says the Gemara, but what about the rest of the avoda? Baholachas everam lekevesh baholachas adam miha hecha azli. How could they go? So the Gemara now seems to take the whole teeth out of that great chazal that we just spoke about. The maske istavi, they walked on platforms, so they didn't get their begadim dirty. That's the maskana. Doesn't that take the whole teeth out of the Gemara says shevach lekonim, that they got themselves dirty. I don't know exactly how, you know, there's a lot of discussion about that first line. But if you read the Gemara, the Maskana, they're not getting dirty. But again, at least the Chazal still stands. Continues the Gemara. Ketza tolonu mafshitin, karu v'hotzi v'saimurim, nasun b'megas, and the correct yersi should be v'hiktiram. Gilui Nashas here says Vihik Tiran. They took out the, after they hung it up, says the Mishnah, they took out the chaylev, the fats from the inside of the animal, they put it in a bowl, and they were makter it. Vihik Tiran. Says the Gemara, Atahu Gufe Havi Makter Lahu. The Yisraelim were the ones skinning it and taking it out. Did they makter it on the Mizbeach? A Yisrael can't do that. So the Gemara says, you're right. Ema lehak tiran akabim mizbeach. Doesn't mean that they did it. It means they put it in the bowl so that later on the Kohen can be makhtarit on the mizbeach. Yatsa kat rishona. The kat rishona goes out. Tana. Kol echad ve'echad nosi pischa ba'oro. How did Bnei Yisrael carry out their Karban Pesachs back home? They put their Pesach in, wrapped in the skin of the Karban Pesach after they skinned it. Umashal lechorav. They threw it over their back like a knapsack. Amara. And that's how they brought it home. Why? The Arsameach suggests because the skin, when it's not me'ubad, it's not tanned yet, it's not makabel tumah. So the Dafka put it in this sack so that it wouldn't be become tummy on their way home. Amar Rav Ilish, Tayos. Rav Ilish says, Tayos. What's Tayos? Tayos, like the Arab merchants do this, that they carry things over their back. If you remember 2 years ago, we had an unbelievable vart from Rabbi Isaac Bernstein based on this word, Tayos. And to write it down, it's in the Haggadah Shir 2 years ago. Halacha l'maisa, write this down. This is a great vart if you never heard it before. Rabbeinu Manoach in the Rambam, we'll end with this. Rabbeinu Manoach in the Rambam, in Chamitzu Matzah, Perechess Halacha Beis, says, Rambam says, you dip karpas in the zalzvash, or in the salt water. Why? Says Rabbeinu Manoach, because we're remembering when we dip the karpas, we're remembering Yosef. Remembering that the brothers dipped the ksones pasim into blood. That's what Rabbeinu Manoach says here on the Rambam. So the kasha is, and there's others, the discussions, that's the beginning of the shibud, so that's what we do it then. But maha kesher between karpas and mechiras Yosef, the brothers dipping in Yosef. So says Rabbi Isaac Bernstein, he puts all this together. He says, if you look in the Megillah, in Perek Aleph, when it's describing what karpas is, it's a beautiful material. Chur karpas uschei les. Karpas, in there, it's Perek Aleph. Karpas is a beautiful material. That's what karpas is. Rashi, the beginning of Parshas Vayeshev, the Torah says that Yaakov Avinu gave Yosef a ksones pasim. What's pasim? Rashi. It's a Rashi. We all did this Rashi. Pasim, lushen clay milas. It's a lushen of a beautiful material. Kimo karpas. Rashi says ksones pasim is karpas. Says Rav Isaac Bernstein, we dip the karpas, remember here is Yosef, because karpas is the material that the pasim was. We dip it in the blood at the beginning of the Seder to remind us that this is the beginning of the Shibud, when the brothers sold Yosef. What does it have to do with anything here? What does Rashi here say? Last Rashi in the parak. Tayos! Derech socharim yishme'elim huzeh. Right after we shech the karpas in Pesach, we act like the socharim yishme'elim. We remember the ones who bought Yosef HaTzadik. Rashi specifically says, Sochem Yishma'elim Uzeh. Not Sochem, any Sochem Yishma'elim. We remember that Lashon from Parshas Vayeshev. So you put this Rashi together with Rashi and Vayeshev, together with Rabbeinu Manoach, together with the Mishnah Pasuk and Megillah, and you have a nice thought to say by Karpas, by the Haggadah. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we start the new parak. Teishi with Ozecha Nishmas, Ben Yamin, Ben Shmuel, and Shimon Ozer, Ben Noah.
Not say brothers?